What is sexism? Like racism, the definition has shifted over time. For those of us who grew up in the 90s, we probably think of it simply as discrimination on the basis of sex. Today, the definition has been more specified to mean prejudice, stereotyping, or discrimination, typically against women, on the basis of their sex. Modern definitions tend to include power dynamics, meaning that while you can be sexist towards men, women aren't in a position of power. Therefore, it doesn't have an effect. Defining what makes a sexist state is harder than you'd think. This list will look at a variety of factors ranging from disparities in the workplace, gender roles, and access to abortion. Just kidding! We aren't touching that topic with a 10-foot pole. There have been many studies that have tried to quantify a state's sexism index, but unfortunately, these often negate other variables like religion and culture, but also negate various ways in which people perceive sexism. For example, we could say that Latin American countries are the most sexist, but that is, of course, only looking at it through a Western-centric lens, which discounts cultural and religious traditions. All that said, this list tries to take a lot more into account than just the basic indicators. And don't worry, men, we have one for you too. Number 11 is for the men out there, North Dakota. If disparities in the workplace are a factor, then we have to mention North Dakota. North Dakota is ranked as the most dangerous state for workers. The oil fields and similar industries have brought a multitude of jobs and money to drive the economy, but with those jobs have also come life-threatening risks to workers. While many women are fighting to be equally represented in the workplace, few women are fighting for equality on the oil fields. It's the men of North Dakota that are subjected to this deadly and dangerous statistic. Whether it's machinery accidents, heart failure from toxic fumes, explosions at oil and gas facilities, or transportation injuries, there is no question that the men in North Dakota face risks every day that far outpace the women. Number 10 is Alaska. This state makes the list when it comes to crime and the handling of crime. Alaska has the highest rate of sexual assault against women. The state also is notoriously bad at prosecuting these crimes, particularly when it comes to Native women. A study conducted in 2016 by the National Institute of Justice found that more than 4 in 5 American Indian and Alaska Native women have experienced violence in their lifetime. That's 84.3%, including 56% who have experienced sexual violence. There are many cultural challenges that the state faces. While many people think about assaults by a stranger, the majority of assaults are by someone known to the victim. The insular culture of Native Alaskans and lack of trust of state law enforcement has led to an epidemic of violence against women. How is this sexist? One Alaskan woman said it best when she said that if men were facing sexual violence at the same rate as women, it would have been solved before it started. Number 9 is Utah. This one is complicated because while the state ranks high on the sexism index, many of the responses that led to this ranking also came from women. You can't think of Utah without thinking of Mormonism. And based on several criteria, Utah landed on this list, although many Utah women might disagree. Respondents to the survey were asked questions such as, would you vote for a female president? Or, is it better if the men go to work and the women stay home to care for the house and family? Oddly enough, Utah's women's responses to these questions ranked Utah as the second most sexist state based on this survey, while the answers from the men had Utah lower in the rankings. One could argue that women in Utah have internalized sexism, but that statement in itself is sexist because it implies that women can't think for themselves. Utah is quite the paradox. Number 8 is West Virginia. Like North Dakota, sexism goes both ways in the Mountain State. Some of the most dangerous jobs in West Virginia are done by men, but that doesn't mean women aren't seeking those jobs. In fact, many women are starting to train for these jobs in West Virginia to increase their lifetime earnings. On average, men make $483,000 more over their lifetime in the state of West Virginia. Closing this gap is a daunting task, but certain jobs can help. It makes sense that more dangerous jobs would come with higher wages, and historically men have held these jobs. You could argue that women don't inherently choose these jobs, but one could also argue that gender roles and societal expectations for women have made accessing these jobs more difficult. But West Virginia is on the move towards closing this gap as more and more women train for these historically male-dominated industries. Number 7 is Tennessee. Tennessee earns a spot on this list for its lack of female representation in politics. Rutgers Center for American Women in Politics ranked Tennessee 47 among state legislatures for the proportion of women. Nashville has had one female mayor, And the most recent mayoral race had a female candidate, although she lost to her male opponent. As with many instances of disparities, of course, one must try to determine if the differences are organic or based on systemic and cultural sexism. When it comes to government, we know that women have been at a disadvantage, since they only got to vote nationally with the passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920. That means that most people alive today had a grandmother or great-grandmother that didn't have the right to vote. The first woman, Sandra Day O'Connor, was nominated to the Supreme Court in 1981 by then-President Ronald Reagan. That is in most of our lifetimes. As for Tennessee, women in politics have faced an uphill climb. For example, Crystal Ottinger, who was elected Cock County mayor, struggled to even get elected. Her husband said that people asked for his permission before being willing to vote for her. Ottinger also said that residents of the small county of only 36,000 people would seek out her father to essentially tattle on her if they didn't like her decisions in politics, an issue that no male politician in Tennessee has ever reported on. Number 6 is Kentucky. A study from the University of Chicago ranked Kentucky as the 6th most sexist state, and it doesn't just affect women living in Kentucky, but also women who were born in Kentucky and moved away. The study has been collecting data since 1970 and showed that in Kentucky, women had lower wages, less participation in the job market, and much earlier rates of childbirth and marriage. Again, one can always argue that there are many variables that cause this other than just sexism, but it's hard to ignore these disparities, particularly when they follow Kentuckian women to wherever they move to. The Kentucky State Police also came under fire when a lawsuit was filed against them for sex-based discrimination in the workplace. This goes back to the dangerous jobs issue. Women in Kentucky who are willing to put their lives on the line face discrimination to the point of the lawsuit, which then acts as a deterrent for other women who want to get into these more male-dominated fields. Number 5 is Alabama. The Deep South was bound to make this list. The South was slow to catch up when it comes to racial equality, and slow to catch up with sex-based equality. Alabama has the highest wage gap in the nation, with women making only 67 cents to the dollar when compared to men. And yes, there are many variables, but even those variables are rooted in sexist beliefs. Many women are paid less over the course of their lifetime because they often stay home to raise children. But who says women have to be the ones to sacrifice their careers? Certainly, men can also choose to stay at home while the wife goes to work. But herein lies sexist attitudes towards men as well as women. A man in Alabama who stays home while his wife goes to work is often ridiculed for not being man enough. Many would ask why a woman would date a bum that she has to support. Very few women who stay at home are accused of being bums that need supporting. So, the sexist undertones of expected gender roles certainly play a role in Alabama's staggeringly high gender pay gap. Number 4 is California. This one may shock some viewers, since California has the reputation of being liberal and progressive, but sometimes progressivism is more talk than walk. The laws of California definitely seem like they would put a stop to sexism. For example, in California, you can sue for gender discrimination if the employer or coworker's actions include unequal pay, denial of promotions, unfair job assignments, or a hostile work environment due to gender. Sounds great, right? So why is this state on the list? In 2020, there were 2,506 complaints filed and 1,894 cases of discrimination were filed. 10% were gender-based discrimination. And one of the more complex issues of sexism in California is a touchy topic since it crosses cultural lines. Many are familiar with the term machismo, which can be described as a strong sense of masculine pride. In Latino culture, machismo can be so embedded in the culture that it is not only accepted, but often even expected. Of course, not all Latino men and women subscribe to this notion. This is, of course, where California finds its progressive self in a paradox of sexism and racism. With over 40% being Latino, Californians have to balance whether their sense of sex-based equality is more important than their racial and cultural tolerances. And that is why California has landed on this list as number 4. Number 3 is Missouri. This makes the list for a controversial law that was passed for the Missouri House of Representatives. In January of 2023, lawmakers in the Missouri House of Representatives adopted a stricter dress code for women, which now requires them to cover their shoulders by wearing a jacket like a blazer, cardigan, or knit blazer. Of course, this law was deemed sexist because whether it's a high school dress code or workplace dress code, the rules always seem to disproportionately affect women. This new dress code is particularly ironic since a certain senator, which shall remain nameless, has famously shown up to the Senate in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. While there was an initial expression of disapproval, no action was taken. A woman would likely never get away with that, and certainly not one in Missouri. In another ironic twist, the law was actually proposed by a woman. Critics of the law say that Missouri is reinforcing sex-based discrimination in the workplace, while supporters of the bill argue that the law is actually combating sexist dress code policies against the men who are already required to wear a suit, tie, and jacket. In any case, the fact that the adults running Missouri are battling publicly about what women can and cannot wear keeps Missouri on this list. Number 2 is New Mexico. This state has some overlap with Alaska. New Mexico, as a state, has one of the highest crime rates. Sexual assault against women, particularly Native women, often go unreported or underinvestigated. There are also issues with the gender pay gap. According to New Mexico's ACLU, women make only 79 cents to the dollar when compared to men. Whether that is based on outright sexism or external factors surrounding gender expectations, the data is still the data. New Mexico was also home to an incident at the 3rd Judicial District Attorney's Office where several female employees posted signs on their office doors reading, "The future is female, feminism is for everybody, and no mansplaining." The men in the office filed a complaint claiming that it created a hostile and sexist working environment towards men. This created a frustrating battle that came to the forefront in New Mexico when tackling issues of workplace hostility. The women in the office claimed that the previous complaints of sexism going back decades within the office were ignored, and allegations of sexism were only taken seriously when men felt targeted. Although New Mexico has a way to go, the gender pay gap is narrowing, and many laws have been passed to help protect gender equality. And at number 1 is Arkansas. It doesn't matter how you slice this one. Arkansas seems to repeatedly be number 1 on all metrics. 3 different universities, Northwestern University, National University Singapore, and the University of Chicago, did the same study and all 3 came to the same conclusion. Arkansas was the most sexist state in the country. These particular studies define sexism in 3 different ways: that women's capacities are inferior to men's, that the family unit is hurt when women focus on activities outside the home, or that men and women should occupy specific, distinct roles in society. Oddly enough, Arkansas doesn't have the worst gender pay gap on this list, with women making 84 cents to every dollar earned by a man. What put Arkansas on this list were attitudes on sex and gender from the residents themselves. One resident said, "Sexism is in our blood. It's in the water we drink. It follows us." That's a bold indictment. Traditional values in deeply religious communities perpetuate the idea that a woman's place is better served when in the home. Again, some Arkansas residents will push back and say that women in Arkansas have all the freedom to choose their path, but it's not sexist if they choose to stay home and raise a family. They even went so far as to argue that it is sexist to tell women who choose to stay home that their choice isn't good enough. After all, if we are to listen to women's voices, then that also includes women who identify as conservative, Christian, Latin, Muslim, or any community that may have gender expectations that contrast with the mainstream narrative.